Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to another episode of the Scott McKenna Podcast. I'm really excited about this podcast, and I'll tell you why. Over the last 12 to 18 months, I have been really obsessed with podcasts, which is part of the reason why I started one. And one podcast that I listen to more than any other, and one that I highly, highly, highly recommend that you go check out, is hosted by the guest that I'm having today to talk a little bit about podcasting. His name is Jordan Harbinger. He is the host of The Jordan Harbinger Show, very creatively named, as he talks about in the episode. But his podcast has been one of the most influential that I've listened to over the last 12 to 18 months because he is just such a great podcast host. He is so great at interviewing people, getting the right questions asked to make his listeners just stay hooked. I know each and every episode that he posts, I'm just really intrigued with what stuff they're going to talk about and what direction he's going to take certain answers and certain questions. He's just the best of the best when it comes to interviewing somebody. I think he has a huge future, not just for podcasting, but in general, in whatever realm possibly he could take it. He's just great at interviewing people. He talks a little bit about the importance of planning for hosting a podcast, planning for interviewing somebody, the right questions to ask, what is the real way to get the best questions asked and make your listeners want to listen more, and how to grow a podcast, how to start a podcast, all that stuff. So honestly, I don't want to talk much more myself. I'd rather just get right into this interview with Jordan. He is outstanding, and I hope you find lots of value in this. As always, connect with me on Twitter, Scott W. McKenna. Tell me what you think. For taking a few minutes to be on the podcast. I know you are a busy guy, so we will jump right into it. But before we get started, since not everybody knows who you are, even though they should, can you just give us a little bit of information of who you are and what you do?
Sure. Thanks for having me on, first of all. I am Jordan Harbinger. I'm the host of the not-so-creatively titled Jordan Harbinger Show. And I host a program that essentially, well, a podcast, first and foremost, that teaches the thoughts, actions, and habits of brilliant people to the listening audience. So I study these people, their thoughts, their habits, their actions, ask them what I hope are interesting questions, and get something out of them that the audience can apply for themselves. So in other words, I want to take their superpowers and deliver them to the listener. So it's not about the guest, it's not about me, it's about the listener. And each episode has worksheets so that people can apply what they hear. And I think the novel angle is that it's always about the listener. Every minute of the listener's time has to be earned as a show host. And so I'm not trying to make friends with the guest. I'm not trying to figure out something in my own life or whatever. I'm trying to get the value for the person who is listening. So it's never a waste of time, in theory.
And that's such a, you know, it's, I can see that 100% by being an avid listener of your podcast. That's part of what I want to talk about is just you do, it seems like, so much prep work with these guests, because the questions that you ask them so many times, I'm like, that's exactly what I wanted to know, or this is exactly what I was thinking. And you must obviously do a lot of work. I don't know if it's just you or if it's is it Jason, the yeah. guy that also does some work?
Yeah,
I don't know producer. If you guys, what does kind of your prep look like when you're getting ready to talk to these guests? Because it always seems like obviously you guys know a lot about the people you're talking to. You're not randomly finding this out for the first time. So talk a little bit about your prep to make sure that you are prepared to ask those questions.
Sure. So when I have a guest, I typically do 6 to 10 hours of prep. And what I'm really doing most of the time is figuring out where the practicals are. So I'll read the book that the guest has. That's always a good idea, generally. I will look at the Wikipedia that the guest has. And I will also look at the discussions around the guest online. So if they're doing something that's, if they're a CIA agent that teaches how to read people or get information out of people, yes, I'll read their book. But I also want to find out where there's articles. I want to look at the reviews, positive and negative, of their book. I might even call somebody else that I think might know them or that I know knows them through social media and get a little bit of a backstory. So that's always very helpful. And that kind of extra mile of prep, reading the whole book, contacting people that know them personally, that always ends up putting a little bit of spit shine on the interview itself, because you can get somebody who has done a zillion interviews, but then you find their college roommate and you get a story that they haven't heard in 30 years and you bring that out. And that just makes it such a richer experience for the guest and for the listener. And I really think it leads to something that is a little bit magical, as long as it also isn't just a massive digression, of course, from the course at hand. Because again, it has to be something that people can use as a skill generally in each show. So being prepared enough is how you find that. I think a lot of people who do interviews, they think they're going to meander their way through it. It doesn't work. You think it works, but it doesn't. And then other times you think, oh, I'm going to hit good. When I do my interviews, I hit on one, two, or three things. You have to know what you're looking for. You got to know where the needle is, or you have to know that the needle is in the haystack at some level, right? You can fish for it all you want, but you've got to know what's in there in the first place. The only way to do that is to prepare.
Yeah, and it absolutely shows. I mean, like I said, the thing I always notice more about your podcast than anybody is the amount of times that I hear the guests say, like, I'm so glad you asked that question, or wow, I can't believe you actually thought about that, or how did you know that? And clearly, the prep goes into it. I think a lot of people don't prep because obviously it's work.
It's work.
And a lot of people don't like putting in the work to it, but I think it's what separates your podcast without question to me is just, I know that, like you said, you have the listener in mind, and I know that when I listen to it, if you posted a 5-hour podcast tomorrow, I know that the 5 hours clearly must be valuable because you wouldn't post it if you didn't. And I think that's so important as a podcast guest to keep that in mind, that people, you can do a longer podcast because podcasts are acceptable in a long form, but at the end of the day, if it's 5 minutes and it's boring, it doesn't really matter how short it was. It still just has to be valuable. And
exactly.
I think that's a great, great way to look at it. And too many people, like you said, I think just kind of go into a conversation figuring they'll just make their way through it. But if there's not a lot of value in it, it can get really boring really fast.
I agree. Thank you. Yeah, you get well said. I think people don't want to do the prep because it's work and it's not the fun part. The fun part is picking up the phone or the going on mic with somebody that you admire. But again, you know, even if you think you know their work really well, remember your audience doesn't. So you can't just go in and start from step 9 out of 10. You've got to go in and go, oh yeah, these basics. That's right. Yep. These things I hadn't thought about for 3 years because I've been obsessed with their work. It's important. It's important to do it. If you're interviewing a musician, don't just listen to their latest album. Go all the way back to the beginning. And then
I think they show, it always seems too, like, you know, the guests, you can tell how much the guests appreciate when you've done some research on them, because there's nothing worse than feeling like someone's kind of using you for something, like, to, you know, for to bring value to their audience, but they're almost, they don't even really know who you are either. They're kind of just going through the motions of asking questions that seem valuable, but they haven't gone through that work to do it. And I think it really is probably the reason too that you get a lot of great guests, is because I think people could listen to your podcast with any episode and know, okay, clearly this guy does his homework. So let's talk a little bit about that from a guest standpoint. Obviously, over the years, we won't talk about the previous podcast that you were on, but I was a huge listener to that one as well. And just continuing to be a huge fan of the one you do now. But talk a little bit about, over the years, you've obviously interviewed a lot of people, a lot of very well-known people. What does that look like? And I know it's a little different now, I guess, because you're kind of starting over with the Jordan Harbinger show. What does that look like to you? How do you get guests? What is kind of the best way to approach that for people starting a podcast? Because when you start, obviously a lot of people, it's hard to get good guests.
Yeah, I agree. But here's the thing that nobody really knows. You can get a huge guest on your show and it is not going to make your show popular.
Right.
If nobody's interviewed the president and you get the president because he's your uncle, that, congratulations, you won the lottery. However, you're not going to necessarily get a lot of repeat listeners. That's the thing that I learned over the past 11 years doing the show. I've had Shaquille O'Neal and, you know, Russell Brand on the show, Larry King. I got little bumps and some people stuck, sure, but it doesn't make you. So when new podcasters are like, how do I get good guests? You don't really need somebody who's well-known, famous, busy, etc., to come on your show, because you're not necessarily ready for that anyway. So what I would say is you should go for people that you are interested in and that are attainable, with whom you can do good work. So if you're interested in science fiction or something like that, don't just go for the number one sci-fi writer that everyone knows. Go for the small-time authors and hone your skill set. You'll still have a great time doing it. They'll have a great time doing it. And it won't matter that you didn't have, I don't even know, a science fiction writer. It won't matter, though, if you're into fiction, it doesn't matter that you didn't have John Grisham on your show as your third guest, right?
Right.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, so, because everyone brings in their own expertise and things too, and even, you know, there's the amount of people that I talk to that are maybe at the same skill level I am in certain things. They just have different ways they look at things, they think about things, and there's value. I think in any conversation you have with anybody, there's opportunities to learn from people and to just see what they're doing, what they've done right, what they've done wrong, and just learn from people. You should be able to learn in anything you do, I feel.
I agree. And one thing I've really found over the years that I think is just really good news for especially aspiring or beginning podcasters and interviewers, my best shows that I've enjoyed the most and that my audience has found to just be incredible, half of them were with people that had never done an interview before or that had only done a few. One was this KGB agent that had been planted in America to pretend he was American and make a bunch of connections. And he had just written a book. It was published by this kind of small-time publisher. I read it. I was enthralled by it. He came on the show. We did a two-hour-long episode that we split into two pieces. And he was just amazing. And we're friends. And he's an incredible, incredible guy. And it was just unbelievable. And another one that I did was with another guy who reads body language in a way that is scientifically encoded. It's by far the most accurate body language and nonverbal communication skill set of anybody that I ever met.
I think I listened to that. That was just recently, wasn't it?
It was recent, and he's coming back on because he was such a nuclear disaster. Sorry, Chase. When he came on the show, that my producer was like, I can't believe I'm editing this, but the content was so good. Because he'd never done an interview. His content was amazing, but he was just an unmitigated train wreck on the mic. But once we got done editing it, the audience went, okay, this is the best one I've ever heard from you. And so we said, okay, we're going to have you back in a year when you know how to, like, hold on to a microphone without making noise and every other word is an I mean, the poor guy, he's a good friend of mine. He was nervous as heck, and there wasn't enough bourbon in Kentucky to calm him down. So we had to give him a little bit of practice. And I just thought, you know, if these are my two top favorite shows of the last 8 months, it just doesn't have anything to do with the fame or the Twitter count or the follower love. It just doesn't matter. It's irrelevant.
Yeah, and I like what you said earlier, too, about that it doesn't matter if you have the best guest because it won't keep listeners. Because it is true. I mean, there's a lot of people that want to start a podcast with the best guest ever. But here's what you're also doing is you're setting yourself up for failure because you're starting with what you think is going to be the best guest. And then what happens is you don't do a great job interviewing them. You don't do a great job hosting it and doing anything. The guest doesn't really get value out of it either because you don't necessarily even have a great conversation with them. And then the people listening, every other guest after that, they're thinking, well, if you couldn't make that podcast good with the great guest, there's zero chance this is going to continue to be good. And I think when people come across a random podcast, or at least when I come across a random one, I look right away to see, like, has this guy been podcasting for a while? Because if I like the show, I want to be able to listen to more and more. And that's what I, you know, loved about finding yours is there's obviously hundreds and hundreds of different episodes I've listened to over the course of you know, the last couple of months especially. And it is. I love what you said, though, about that the guest obviously doesn't make the show, for sure.
Yep. It's 100% true. And the sooner you learn that, the more you get rid of this weird FOMO, like, oh, this person got this famous person. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
Doesn't
Especially
matter.
Because those famous people, you know, it's different maybe if you have, you know, if you're Larry King and you have this show where millions of people want to talk about it. But so many times you could get the best guests on your podcast. It doesn't mean that they're going to share it anyway with their audience. So it's not like you're getting you're not getting this guest that has this huge fame and you're going to get them to promote it. They're not going to talk about your podcast anyway.
No,
so you
exactly.
still have to get people to listen to it.
Exactly. This is the most common misconception. People say, oh, it's called standing on the shoulders of giants. I'm like, you really think that you're going to interview Tim Ferriss and he's going to go, oh my gosh, everyone has to listen to the 800th show that I did this month with this random dude. Everybody go download it. Not going to happen. You'll be lucky.
And if you go in there expecting that, you're never going to get anything too. Because if you are expecting your guest to be like the value to you versus your listeners and you being, you know, somewhat valuable to them and bringing value to them in some way, you're going to fail in anything you do.
No, even if you do a really great job, they still probably won't share it because their publicists won't even allow them. They might have a policy that they won't.
They do so many things.
And also, these people are so busy. Good luck. I remember after the Russell Brand interview, he goes, I can't wait to share this. This is going to be so cool. I've never done an interview like this. And afterwards, I emailed his assistant and she goes, oh yeah, we're definitely going to do that. And she goes, oh, you know what? Actually, we have a full editorial calendar of this, and then something, something legal, something, something, we're not sharing it. And I was like, no problem. And she's like, I'm really sorry. I know that was part of the arrangement. And I said, no, it's no big deal. I'm not counting on you to create my career for me. And that's how that ended up. And this is them both wanting to do it and having a reason to do it, and it still didn't happen. So imagine when they don't really want to do it. Never going to happen.
So what I want to talk about too, because I know that this is obviously something I think is probably interesting from your standpoint right now, is obviously as you grow a podcast, the unique part about a podcast is unlike YouTube videos or Google SEO, particularly you don't necessarily grow a podcast out of nowhere without pushing it from another place, whether you do a lot of YouTube content or other places or written word, whatever it is. What are some tips and things and strategies that you use to grow a podcast, since you're obviously kind of regrowing this new podcast, still as good as the previous one, but obviously this is new for you? What are some ways that you're finding are successful for people to grow a podcast? Clearly, the podcast has to be good first for it to ever grow, so I get that. And with you, we know that's out of the way. What are some ways that people can grow if the podcast is actually somewhat good?
Sure. So yeah, you nailed the first thing. The content has to be good because it has to be sticky enough for people to care. The second thing is, if you have a pre-existing platform, you have a huge advantage. So I know that that doesn't help a lot of other people, but one of the things I realized when I was growing my show was, oh shoot, I wish I'd been growing two or three different platforms right alongside this, because I have friends that started YouTube and didn't do a podcast and they got hundreds of thousands of subscribers. But here's the problem. Yeah. YouTube, not very sticky. You can subscribe, you don't get all the episodes, you fall out of favor quickly, the algorithm is never really working for you, it's hard to promote. But if you did YouTube and a podcast at the same time, you funnel your YouTube fans into your podcast, it's really sticky, they stay.
Right, and that's what I do, yep.
Yeah,
for sure.
You grow a huge show. I know Instagram people that are just the most boring people in the world, but they'll create a show and it'll get 150,000 downloads per episode. And then, of course, everybody cashes out or checks out because it doesn't matter. But if they were really good at podcasting and broadcasting and they had a big Instagram, they could have started and immediately been in the iTunes top 25 and never left. So you look at someone like Tim Ferriss, who had an email list, a really wide blog following, great social following, then started a podcast, immediately one of the top shows in the world, never leaving the top 50, top 100 of iTunes. That's how you do it. Now, I realize Tim Ferriss is a unicorn, but I also realize that growing the Jordan Harbinger show, if I had also had a different platform that I'd been growing alongside it since 2006, which I did not do, even if that platform was just a freaking Facebook fan page, I would have had a completely different experience growing the show, and it would probably be three or four times the size that it is.
Yep. No, and I think it's going to grow just as quick as it ever did, because it's just fantastic. What I want to talk about recently, and we'll switch gears, and this will be kind of the last thing real quick. Recently, you had a guest on, and this really stuck with me, so I kind of wanted to bring this up. You had a guest on, I forget his name, but it was just recently, about the distraction, the traction versus distraction, that whole episode, which was outstanding. And what you said about it that I really resonated with is you talked about the fact that you really, really block out your day, and you are scheduled months in advance now because you're kind of used to time blocking and all that. How important, this is very different than obviously the podcast talk, but how important, and can you talk a little bit about your time management? Because I know that you are pretty particular with time, because I know, you know, we booked this months ago and you're like down to the minute, which I love. Talk a little bit about how you manage your time in this crazy schedule.
Sure. So I have my assistant, which I realize not everyone does, but you don't need an assistant to have a scheduling assistant. And what you can do is go to like Schedule Once or Acuity Scheduling. And what you can do with from there is set something up that's automated, and you can tell it when you want to be available and it will look at your calendar. And that's the other thing, is most people think they're not busy enough to use a calendar, or they think they can remember all their appointments. You really can't, and you shouldn't. If you have any sort of life outside your own home, then you need a calendar. You need to put your physical activity, your gym. For example, today, 6:30 a.m., vocal warm-up, 7 a.m., Chinese, 9 a.m., Chinese vocabulary study, 9:30, go into my networking CRM and make sure I keep up with people, another hour of emails, add commercial recording, prep guests, call American Express about some random thing. That's on there. People normally don't put their phone calls on there because they go, oh, I'll just do it in between things. I'm sorry, no.
And then it gets 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you're like, oh crap, where did these phone calls go?
And then it gets pushed, and then it gets pushed, and then it gets pushed. And then before you know it, you've got an entire Sunday morning that you have to make 87 phone calls, and that doesn't happen either. If you're going to do it, it has to live in a place on your calendar. If you're not going to do it, forget about it entirely. Everything in my life has a place where it lives on the calendar, from appointments with friends to calling my parents to cashing a check at the bank, depositing it, everything my assistant and I do lives on the calendar. That means that if it's on there, it gets done. If it's not on there, it doesn't get done. I don't have this nebulous to-do list of stuff that kind of sort of maybe at one point in my life will get done. I see people that are busy, successful entrepreneurs, and they've got things on their to-do list like write book. No. Yep. That's a year-long project. Oh, yeah, yeah. Do proposal for such and such. Really? That's your free time someday, maybe? Yeah. No, block off the next 3 weeks and get it done. If you don't do that, you're never gonna get things done. That's how I get more done in a day than literally most other people that I know get done in an entire week.
It's so important, the time blocking. I mean, I think you said in your podcast too, but like if you don't tell your time what to do with it, your time will determine what it's going to do.
That's right.
It ends up just being an entire wasted day. So last things, I know you got to run. Any tips, suggestions, or biggest failure you think people make when starting a podcast, and what kind of advice could you give? I know right now podcasts are all the rage. A lot of people want to start them. What is the best piece of advice you could give to someone starting out?
The best thing that I can give to someone starting out is the idea that you should not do a podcast unless you are willing to do it, even if no one is listening. And I know everyone's like, yeah, but people are going to listen to my show. Forget about
everyone
it.
Everyone thinks that. Yeah.
I've mentored, and I hate that word, but I use that loosely. What I mean by that, what I should say is I've coached literal A-list and B-list celebrities to start shows. And you think, of course someone's going to listen to that. And they go, oh, I only have like 3,000 listeners and I'm a person who's been on television for 20 years. They quit. Yeah. So you cannot assume that people are going to listen to your show. And if you're not willing to do it, even when very few people are listening to it / no one, this is not good for you. You're not going to make money doing it, at least not for the first few years. It's not going to be something that is a high leverage point for your business. And a lot of authors make this mistake. They go, I have to do a podcast. That's how so many people sell so many books. It's worse for you to do a mediocre show than to do no show. And if you don't love it, meaning you'll do it for free, then you will not do it right and you'll be in trouble and you'll quit. So don't waste your time. Whenever I go to entrepreneur events, I usually give a talk and the title is, please, for the love of God, don't start another podcast. And the people in the room, half of them go, I'm so glad you told me this. I didn't want to do one, but all my author or entrepreneur friends or financial manager friends told me that I had to. And the other group of people are the people that go, look, I'm not going to listen to you because I really want to do a podcast. And those are the people that should do it. You should do it for years as a hobby. It's you drinking craft beer with your friends and talking about beer. Go ahead. If you don't care if anyone ever listens, fine. If you're secretly planning in the back of your head to even make a cent and or even to break even from doing it, you're freaking dreaming.
Yep. Well, that's such great advice. And Jordan, I really, really appreciate you taking some time. I will definitely link everything down below so that everyone can follow where they need to, that you got to check out. If you are listening to this podcast, make sure you go and say hello to Jordan and check out his podcast. But Jordan, thanks so much for taking a few minutes of your day here. Really, really appreciate it. I will continue listening to your podcast and appreciate all your incredibly valuable content that you provide to this community.
Hey, thank you, man. I appreciate the opportunity.
So thanks again to Jordan for taking some time. He is an extremely busy guy that does almost 5 or 6, 7 podcasts a week. It seems like there's always new podcasts coming out. I cannot recommend enough for you to go check out his podcast. It will be the most valuable podcast that you listen to. If you are thinking about starting a podcast, I think this was probably very valuable to you. But I really hope you go check out his, because ultimately what I wanted to do was just to bring value to someone that really does podcasting well, so that you can maybe think about whether podcasting is right for you. So thanks as always for listening to another Scott McKenna podcast. This one's a little shorter than normal, but short and sweet is fine for me, and that's all I'm trying to do is provide as much value as I can to you. So thanks for listening. I will talk to you guys very soon. Goodbye.